Hey, good morning, church. It's good to be with you. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we'll be looking at verses 11 through 21. The title of this message is Ambassadors for Christ. Ambassadors for Christ. Let's read Paul writing here through the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 11 through 21. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. But what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance, and not about what is in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your goodness to us, God, that you've sustained us. You've brought us into another year. And Lord, I just ask, God, that you would align our hearts, Father, to be about your business, that we wouldn't settle for lesser things this year. We wouldn't settle for comfortable lives, Father, but we would really pursue you and seek you, the things above, your mission in the world. And I pray that you would write your truth on our heart, God. Do a work in this time, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, Paul here in 2 Corinthians 5, there's a lot of therefores we'll see in this text. And whenever there's a therefore, we have to ask, what is it there for? It's usually connected with the previous section. And so Paul has been speaking to the Corinthians here, this his second letter to them. He's been speaking about our heavenly dwelling, that we're going to be with God one day, that our earthly tent or these bodies, they'll be destroyed, that we're going to have a new resurrected body one day, and we're looking forward to that day when we're with Jesus. And so in verse 6, chapter 5, he says, because of this, we're always of good courage. And he kind of fleshes that out a little bit. That you know what, whether we're living or we're dying, when we die here, it's merely just, we're just transferred to be with the Lord. It's just a change of location. You're just moving from one body to the next. You're going to receive a resurrected body. And then in verse 10, he says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. And so Paul has this eternal perspective. And this is something that I want us to get today as we look at this text, that we need to think in light of eternity. Most people are too short-sighted. Even those who are planning for their lives here on earth into the 70s or 80s, that's still too short-sighted. What Paul is saying is that there's coming a day where every single man, woman, and child will stand before God and give an account. And because of this, because Paul is moved by eternity, this causes him to be an ambassador for the gospel. He realizes that this is not his true home. His true home is in heaven, and he has been called to be an ambassador of this eternal kingdom on this earth now, to bring as many people with him as possible. And the thing is this, that you and I have both been called into this as well. It's not just the great apostle Paul. It's you and I. It's every single person who's in Christ. We have all been given what he'll talk about later in this chapter, the ministry of reconciliation. We are all called to be ambassadors for Christ. We represent him in this world. This world is not our home. As the song says, we're just passing through. And when we recapture our identity as a pilgrim people, that we're not truly home yet, there should be a level of homesickness inside of us. When we truly recapture this identity, it helps us to be faithful ambassadors in the present. It helps us not to settle for lesser things in the present, not just to accumulate money and houses and cars and stuff and status, but there's something deeper, there's something better, there's a kingdom that will never be taken away. It will never fade like the kingdoms of this world. And Paul says in verse 11, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. I want to talk about what it looks like to be an ambassador for Christ. What is it that motivates us to step into this space, to embrace this ministry of reconciliation? For Paul, when he thinks of eternity, he says, man, we know the fear of the Lord. And because we know that, we have this sense of, not like being terrified of God, but in a sense, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, as the author of Hebrews says. There is a level of fear and trembling that arises inside of us when we think, wow, one day every single person will stand before God. Now, for those in Christ, the fear of punishment has been removed because Jesus absorbed our sin debt at the cross. He absorbed the wrath that we deserve for our sin. But there are many people who that is not the case for. There are many people walking around us right now who are literally on the cusp of eternity. There are people that you know this year that will pass away. It's not like their life just stops. They're being ushered into eternity, heaven or hell. And I think we really need to allow ourselves to feel the weight of that. Because I know it's uncomfortable, and I know it's very difficult to swallow that truth, that eternity is real, that there is a heaven, that there is a hell, that people are going one or two places. But I think if we don't think about this long and hard enough, if we don't meditate on that, we find ourselves living for lesser things. We find ourselves thinking that our home is on planet Earth, when in reality, we're citizens of heaven. And I think that's why Paul begins here, verse 11. He says, knowing the fear of the Lord. I think the question is, do we really know that? Have we experienced that? Have we thought deeply on the truths of eternity? Because when we do, We move into this place of saying, you know what, I'm going to accept the call. I want to be an ambassador for the Lord. He says, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. This is a motivation for us in stepping into the space of sharing our faith. You have the best gift that anyone could ever have. You have the gift of the gospel, the gift of God himself, your sins being forgiven. You've been made to have a right relationship with God through Christ. This is the best news ever, and as Christians, we're called to give it out to other people. And if we can't give it out to other people, the question is, do we really have that gift? Are we really appreciating the gift of the gospel? Paul would encourage us to allow the fear of the Lord, allow this eternal perspective to really seep into our hearts. That as we walk And as we go out into the world, we would recognize that every single person is made in the image of God. They have the stamp of eternity on them. And that we would be moved to engage with them, right? How could we persuade others if we don't even talk to other people? Before we even get to apologetics and defending the faith and sharing the gospel, I think a good starting point is maybe this year I just want to engage with people. I want to see how they're doing. I want to care for them. The people who maybe I'm going to Starbucks and I'm talking to the barista, like maybe having a little conversation with them. You never know what God can do. I was so encouraged when my wife was sharing with me a while back. There's a lady where we go and get boba sometimes, and we've kind of got to know her a little bit. My wife's kind of got to chat with her, and so she sees us in and out of there sometimes, and just kind of saying, how's it going? How are things going? And my wife was telling me, she says, yeah, this girl was sharing about, midterms or finals, whatever. She's just like, I'm just kind of stressed out. And my wife just says, I'll be praying for you for that, And the girl's just like, I think she's like, yeah, thank you. And kind of just left it there, And then the next time my wife goes in, it was really sweet because, this girl was just like, opening up, she's like, hey, can I ask you, what do you do? What do you and your husband do? And, kind of just sharing with her about, some of our background. And she says, I would love to get your number. I don't know how long I'll be working here, but I would love to kind of connect with you and, just chat a little bit. But, and it was so encouraging, right? When I'm hearing that, my wife share that, I'm like, yes, that is amazing because this all stemmed from, she went spiritual, right? There's a time where it goes beyond the physical to the spiritual. And maybe it's just like, hey, I'll be praying for you. Or is there something I could pray for you about? And that could be a door that opens up an opportunity to further talk about the things of the Lord. My encouragement for us is to step out, to engage with people, to keep Jesus in the center, because as he's in the center, we find ourselves naturally talking about him. Like we're going to talk about whatever it is that we're passionate about. If it's food, if it's a restaurant, I know some of you have really good recommendations. You got to try this place. You got to go. You're like an evangelist for the restaurant. Now just think about this. You're passionate about it. You've tasted it. You're like, man, you got to go there. If you haven't gone there, you're missing out. Now think about this in light of our faith. When you're enjoying Jesus, when you're tasting and seeing that the Lord is good, the natural progression is that you want to invite other people into that. And so I think it's really important, instead of just focusing on all the questions that we get or tactics of how to share, I think that's important as well. I think the heart, the passion is very important. You don't need to have all the answers. You just need a willing heart. And Paul is motivated by eternity to share with people about the good news. There's a couple books I want to recommend if you're interested in this, and I think we all should be to some degree in sharing our faith with people. One is Tactics by Gregory Kokel. The subtitle is A Game Plan for Discussing Your Christian Convictions. And there's some other interesting books out there as well that talk about questions that people have. What I would say that maybe doesn't hit on that a lot, but just on how to share the gospel is the marks of the messenger. I forget the guy's name, but the marks of the messenger, J. Max Stiles, I think is his name. And just these two books, if you're I just want to grow in sharing my faith and knowing how to engage with people, I think these are some great books that can help you navigate Tactics and Marks of the Messenger. Check those out. Let's give some time to these things because I think the more that we learn, the more that we grow, we're going to be able to have some more fuel to work with. We're going to allow the Lord to help us in engaging with people. Paul goes on in verse 12. He says, "We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not about what is in the heart." These false teachers who were seeking to infiltrate the church, Paul's basically saying, you know what, we're not trying to just boast in and of ourselves, but we're kind of telling you guys these things so that you can kind of counteract some of the false teachers that are in the mix there. They're boasting an outward appearance, but they're not really true. They're not really from the heart. They're not serving God from the heart. In verse 13, he says, "For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised." So Paul moves from saying in verse 11 that one of the things that motivates us is the fear of the Lord. Now he says, notice in verse 14, that the love of Christ controls us, or the love of Christ compels us. And this is an interesting thing. You have fear and you have love, both being motivators for the Christian to engage in mission. We serve the Lord with fear. Scripture says to rejoice with trembling. There's this tension that we see throughout Scripture. We see that we're to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Why? Because God is the one who works in us, both the will and to do of his good pleasure. Paul is encouraging us by his example, by saying, this is what motivates me and my ministry. He's encouraging us to recapture our identity as a sent people. He says, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade people. And the love of Christ controls us. It compels us. See, the love of Christ moves you when you're wanting to have that conversation with someone, when you're talking with them and you can feel your palms sweaty and your voice shaky. You're like, man, I want to ask them a question. I want to engage with them, but I'm scared. What if they don't like what I'm saying? Or what if they get the wrong idea? Or they ask me something I don't know? See, the love of Christ can conquer all of our fears. Perfect love casts out fear, the scripture says. And so when the love of Christ is controlling us, we're able to step out in ways that previously, in and of ourselves, we wouldn't have. Paul draws motivation from this. He says, when the love of Christ controls us, why? Because we've concluded something. One has died for all, therefore all have died. Jesus died for every single person. For those who have received that gift, you're as good as dead. You have died in Christ. He died for you so that you might live, not for yourself, but for the one who gave his life for you. So, in other words, the gospel helps dispel this fear that we oftentimes have. When we allow the Spirit of God to control us, the love of Christ to compel us, we're basically putting water on that flame of fear. I'm not going to let fear dictate what I do with my faith. I'm going to allow the love of Christ to come in. Even when I'm afraid, I'm going to step out boldly, knowing that he's with me, that he'll never leave me or forsake me. And I'm telling you, when we start to do this, we begin to find ourselves living our best lives. When you're on mission with the Lord, when you're allowing the love of Christ to control you, there's nothing better than that. I pray that the Holy Spirit would empower us, would help us as we step out for him, that he would give us his heart for people, and that we see God do great and mighty things in our lives. Paul says in verse 16, "From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh." We're not sizing people up in the physical realm, like, oh, you know what, that person, they're not going to want to hear the gospel because they're like this. We're not just looking at people in regards to the flesh. We have to see, like Paul, they have a soul. They're deeply loved by God. no matter what culture they're from, no matter how many issues they have. We don't regard anyone according to the flesh. He says, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, right? Christ came, he died, he lived a perfect life, he died, he rose again from the dead. But what happened? He ascended into heaven. He said, we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Right? He's in heaven. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Notice what's happening here. Paul speaks about the fear of the Lord motivating us to persuade others. Verse 11 through 16. He speaks about the love of Christ compelling us in verse 14 through 17. And now he's speaking about the call of Christ on us in verse 18 through 21. Notice what he says. If anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. This is the glory of the message we're sharing. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. I don't care how many sins you've committed, what your current struggles are, there's always room for you at the foot of the cross. And people need to know this. And Paul says, all this is from God. This news that we received, it's all from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So Christ has reconciled us who once were enemies of Christ. He's brought us in right relationship with him. And while doing that, he's also entrusted us with a ministry of reconciliation. You see, God reconciles people to himself, all the while giving them a ministry of reconciliation. So there's never like a Christian who's like, okay, you got saved by Christ, that's great. You can go sit on the bench while others play the game. That's not how it works. Christ saves us, and then he calls us into his mission. And Paul is just fleshing this out for us. He's wanting us to recapture the glory of the gospel. He gave us this ministry of reconciliation. When someone gives you something, you want to steward it, right? When God gives you something, a ministry, you want to be faithful with it. God, look at what he says. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. You see, Christ on the cross absorbed the wrath of God for us. He didn't count the trespasses of us, of our sins against us. He absorbed them in himself. Now, if someone doesn't believe in Christ, if they don't trust in Christ, they will have to pay the penalty of their sin. But what's happening at the cross is Jesus is saying, I'm here. I'm the perfect sacrifice. I will take all of your sins on myself. I love what one pastor said. He said it like this. God treated Jesus on the cross as if he had lived our wicked lives, so that for all of eternity, God would treat us as if we had lived Jesus' perfect life. Hear that. Let it sink in. God treated Jesus on the cross as if he had lived our wicked lives, so that for all of eternity, God could treat us as if we had lived Jesus' perfect life. That's what Paul is saying here. He's given us this message to bring to the world. And that's why he says in verse 20, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Notice what he says there. In light of the great gospel, in light of us being reconciled to God, we are ambassadors for Christ. And God is making his appeal through us. When you're speaking with someone, when you're engaging with someone, you are the hands and feet in Jesus. You're the hands and feet of Jesus. You're like his ears, you're his mouth, you're speaking for him. As you listen to someone, you're showing them something about God, that God listens to them. Christians, right, means little Christ. We're reflecting who God is to the world. And we do that by how we care for them, how we love them, how we listen to them, how we speak to them, how we bless them. We're showing them about the gospel. I pray that we would embrace our identity as ambassadors for Christ. that we would begin to learn and grow in how to share our faith. Paul implores the believers here, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. This is interesting, right? They're believers. They have been reconciled, but now he wants that continual experience of them being reconciled to God. In verse 21, he just sums up the whole message of our faith, one of the most powerful verses in all of Scripture. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You guys, this one verse, if you hear nothing else, hear this. Jesus Christ, the sinless one, became sin in the sense that he absorbed the sin debt that you and I deserve, so that we might become the righteousness of God. He's not just forgiving you. He's not just saying, okay, I'll wash away your sins, but that's all I'm doing. No, I'm not only washing them away, I'm giving you my perfect righteousness. Have you accepted my son? I see you as righteous. That's your position. You're a child of God, not through upholding it, not through maintaining your salvation, but by free gift of grace, you've been grafted in. You've been invited in to the heart of God. If this no longer excites us, there's something wrong. If you can't get yourself excited about this, right? I know there's only so much I can do in trying to get us excited about it, but if you can't get yourself excited about this, there's something wrong. You need to take the spiritual temperature in your heart and be like, man, there's a disconnect between how great this news is and how much I feel about, like, my joy about it. I'm just going to be honest. I'm more excited about video games. I'm more excited about sports or watching TV or movies or like whatever it is. I think us being honest about what is it that really gets us excited. I think as we're honest about that, we're able to move forward. We're able to have a broken heart and say, God, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Are there idols in my life? I pray that God would expose those things. They say, you know what? I have a better way for you. My son, my daughter, there's a better mission. There's a better call. Your life is more than being entertained, than being comfortable, than being smooth. Your life is about bringing glory to me. I pray we'd step into that this year, that we take those little steps, that we look inward. Where are our hearts going astray? What are the things that are snuffing out our passion for the Lord? How can we create space to enjoy him, to seek first his kingdom? And I pray this week that we would step out, that maybe it's just one person. You're like, I'm just going to pray that God would bring one person this week that I could engage with. And maybe you're not going to drop the gospel bomb. Maybe it's just like, I want to care for them. I want to love them, see how they're doing. Maybe it's a phone call to a friend you haven't talked to in a while. I pray that the Holy Spirit would lead us this week, that we wouldn't just be hearers, hearing the word week in and week out, but that we would be doers of it by the Holy Spirit, that we'd put these things into practice. And when we do, there's an excitement, there's a joy that comes because we're walking in obedience to Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your gospel. We thank you that you saved us by grace, Lord. Nothing of ourselves, Father. It's all your work in us. It's all your work for us. Thank you that we've been given this gift, God, and we confess that we take it for granted, that we don't get excited about it, Lord. At times, the cares and the pleasures of the world choke out the word. And I just pray, God, that you would highlight those things in our lives. Whatever it is that's slowing us down, that's getting in the way of us following you, that you would expose it, that we would repent of it, and that we go forward in you. Lord, I know as we go forward, we experience your joy. We experience that fullness of life. The reason why we were created was to bring glory to you. And when we're in that spot, we find ourselves walking in peace, joy, fullness in the Holy Spirit. And so I pray for my brothers and sisters. I pray for all of us, God, that you would empower us with your Holy Spirit this week to be your ambassadors, to represent the King of Kings to a world that's desperately looking for something, for someone, for meaning, for purpose. And Lord, we know ultimately you came to reconcile us back to you. So I pray this year we'd see many people come to know you, that you give us boldness, you give us excitement, you give us joy. Have your way in us, Lord. Be exalted in Jesus' name. Amen.